In my class, I was focused on our duties in Christ. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Here mentioned Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They was in the promised land. Even they haven't owned the whole land. However, they were in that land. But here mentioned. They were in the land Canaan and saw the land, but here mentioned they have seen them afar off and embraced them. So what does it mean? They were there, but it seems they saw this land far off them. Verse 16. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. So, actually, they desire a better, that is the heavenly country. God bless them in their daily life. Just like today, we live in this world. More or less, we have received many blessings from God. But we have the same mentality like the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We also desire a better land. That is the heavenly country. So if we have the same mentality with them, verse 13, the last sentence, they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They confess they were strangers and pilgrims. It means just like our theme, we are sojourners in a foreign land. So do you confess you are a sojourner? Yes, we should confess. We are strangers. We are pilgrims in this world. But in our real life, does it match our confess? We are a sojourner. We are sojourners in this world. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men the most pitiable. So if we confess we are the strangers, we are the pilgrims in this world. However, in our daily life, we only focus the issues on this world. We only have a hope in this world. Here Paul mentioned we are the most pitiable. Pitiable person. When we confess, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim in this world, we need to focus our desire land, the heavenly, the heavenly country. Let's also turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? 25. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So here Paul mentioned the true hope. We hope for what we do not see. That is the heavenly country. That is what Paul he has focused for his future. So now we are in Christ, and we are a citizen of heavenly kingdom. So in Christ, this is a very important key words. So how do we know we are in Christ? What does it mean we are in Christ? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Why do we need to have faith to Lord Jesus Christ? Here mentioned, this is the main reason. We want to be the children of God. We want to be the sons of God. Verse 20, how could we be the sons of God? Because we believe in Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we believe in Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This is the way we are in Christ. This is the way we are the children of God. Here Paul says, you were baptized into Christ and put on Christ. This is one of the main effective when a person receives the biblical water baptism. Yes, through the water baptism, our sins is forgiven. The other thing, we are in Christ. We belong to Lord Jesus Christ. And here Paul used the term, we have put on Christ. It means we have the same status like Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to this world, in four gospels, many times called Jesus the Son of God. This is the important status of God, of Lord Jesus Christ. And we put on Lord Jesus Christ. We have the same status like Lord Jesus Christ. So we are children of God. We are in Christ. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ is the key point. We should be in Christ. He is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So here say, when we are in Lord Jesus Christ, we are a new creation. It means we will have new identities. We will have new identities. So in this hour, I would like to make the simple introduction concerning the identities. In our culture, like to label and define people. If you were engineers talk about how to solve problems and design things that matter to change the world and make a difference. I believe some of you are engineers. While doctors talk about advancing medicine and saving life, I also believe some of you are doctors. The culture separates people into categories according to the age, interest, and thinking patterns. Yes, there are so many ways to categorize so many people. You were graded and evaluated when you were in school and as an adult. People also try to grade or evaluate other people. Your job description sort you into department, function, and the salary level. Many of you are working youth, so in your company, you might assign to certain department or certain division. All the employees in the company might not have the same salaries because they are categorized into different level. If asked to tell someone who you are, you could describe yourself many ways. For example, I am a member of the U.S. governors. I am a leader of an educational youth group. I am a doctor. I am a scientist, etc. You could describe yourself in terms of race, region, physical appearance, career achievement, and all intelligence. We have many ways to introduce ourselves. We have many ways to tell others our identity. But the real question is not how do I or others define my identity. Instead, the real question is how does God define my identity? This is the most important. How does God define our identity? In our daily life, sometimes we might encounter some so-called VIP, very important person. In that occasions, especially when you have opportunity to preach the gospel to this kind of person, you might feel uncomfortable. You might feel I might not worthy to do this because this person is so famous. This is a VIP person. But don't worry. The reality is, how does God define that person? We know before a person come to Jesus, before a person received the water baptism in God's eyesight, that person, he or she is only a sinner. So the most important issue is how does God define our identity? The Bible says that your identity is in Christ, not in the circumstances of your birth. your economic standing in the world, or your ability to please others. Once again, I would like to emphasize in Christ, thank God, we all in Christ. This positive identity transcends all human categories, freeing you to live your true calling from God. So no matter how other person, how other people define us, but the important is how does God define us? So your identity in Christ is a constant source of strength. We might have many opportunities to attend many kinds of occasions. In some occasions, you might feel a little bit shameful. You might feel you are so low. In that occasions, you thought you are nothing. But think about our identity in Christ. When we really know our precious identities in Lord Jesus Christ, just like I have mentioned, this is a constant source of strength. Your hope is not in your power or righteousness or self-discipline, but in God's power working in and through you. Yes, we know what is good, and we also we are pursuing what is good. But the important is God's power working in and through us, because He defined us no longer a sinner, but we are His children. As a youth, you made the world on what you are not. You might feel you are not good looking enough. You might feel you are not spiritual enough. You might feel you are not outgoing enough. But God sees you differently. In our daily life, we might compare ourselves to others. We compare this, compare that. Many times, even we don't satisfy ourselves. Because we are in Christ, so God sees us differently. God sees you as uniquely created and wonderful in His eyes. So every one of us, every individual of us, I am a unique creation in God's eyesight. So Apostle Peter mentions we are living stone. There is no exactly the same two stones. They are exactly the same. They are different. They are unique. So Apostle Peter used this special term. We are living stone. You are made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. You are forgiven and called in Christ. We are unique. We are so special in God's eyesight because we are forgiven. We are called in Lord Jesus Christ. So for this reason, you are here. When we claim our identity in Christ, we can have a peaceful confidence in his declaration of who complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can have a peaceful confidence in his declaration of who you are. Sometimes you might not feel comfortable to introduce yourself. But if we realize I am the children of God, just like I have mentioned, we have peaceful confidence to proclaim, I'm a Christian, I'm a children of God. Our circumstances may change, and we may make mistakes, but God sees us as perfect and complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we, with this flesh, we live in the time and space. In many occasions, we might make mistakes, but we are called by Lord Jesus Christ. We are unique in the eyesight of Lord Jesus Christ. He will help us become better and better. Even one day, we might become perfect in God's eyesight. It might not in our own idea. It might not according to someone's eyesight. So this identity offers a solid foundation that gives us room to grow and change, encouraging new interest and adventure. So to be a children of God, actually, is very positive, very proactive. We always has the room by God's mercy to grow and to change. It's a large enough for a lifetime and allow us to explore who we are and what we want to become. In general, most of the people know what's the meaning, successful. Most of the people have an ideally goal to reach. Most of the people know what kinds of person I should become. But unfortunately, no matter how hard they tried, they are just a sinner. But today, we are in Lord Jesus Christ. By his grace, yes, we can reach our goal. We can become what we should be. So our identity as God's beloved child will improve our relationships, freeing us from the need to manipulate others. So today, many things we can rely on God. We know we are limited, but we have unlimited God to help us because we are in Christ. We no longer have to conform to stereotypes of who and what you should be. Most of the people have goals in their life, but we know we have a better goal than most of other people. We can satisfy in our own individuality and accept others' differences. More and more people, they don't satisfy themselves. This is the real life. Because most of people cannot find the true identities in their life. But for us, we can find our true identities. So we can satisfy ourselves as long as we are in Christ. And we also can accept others' differences because we know everyone is unique in God's creation, in God's eyesight. More and more people, they cannot accept the differences between the people. So some people would like to force others the same with me. Some people try themselves to be the same with others. For this reason, there are so many problems among the people. Because people cannot bear differences. So we can stand for what we believe without the need to prove ourselves superior to others. So we know our true identities. So yes, we have true peace in our daily life. Yes, we pursuing to become better and better, but we don't have the mind of gain or lose. We don't have mind to try to superior than others. That is not necessary. We compete with ourselves. I know I'm growing. I know I'm becoming better and better. That is a peace. That give me a peaceful mind. That is good enough for my life. So enjoy the freedom and explore the potential of our God-given identity. Knowing that we are wonderful, created in the eyes of God. So we just try our best in the identities God provide for us. So we know we are the children of God. So for sure we have potential to become what we should be. So let's remember it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. This is very important.
Many people, they do not know what they are living for. This is one of the big problems in the modern life. People do not know what they are living for because they do not have a true identity. They do not know their identity. So long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us, had the designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. So wonderful. We are in Christ. Actually, God is working on us, not only just for the better heavenly country, but also for the life in this world. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, all principality of all powers, all things were created through him and for him. How wonderful. We are chosen through him and for him. This is our utmost purpose. This is our utmost goal. We live for him. For King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we know our identities. So we know our utmost purpose for our life. Let's also turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here, Paul encouraged the believers in Ephesus. In the past, they are so-called Gentiles. They have the life occupied by their deceitful lusts. It will guide them to the corruption. But now they have learned the truth of Lord Jesus Christ. So they were renewed their mind. So they put off their old man. Now they are on the process to put on the new man. It means they will restore the cherished image, the image of God. So I would also like use a little bit time to for our mutual encouragement. Let's think about in Christ, we are image of God. So how important we are in Christ. We are in the process to restore this this important image, the image of God. God's goal is to transform us into the image of God. We might use the term, the image of Christ. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Lord Jesus is called the first fruit or firstborn because we will be like him. Furthermore, we will have the image of Lord Jesus Christ. So for this reason, the Almighty God chose us before the creation. The purpose is we will be conformed to the image of Jesus, Jesus Christ. How does God help us to transform, to have the image of Lord Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, God called us to fulfill a very important holy purpose. So we will be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the chosen purpose. So God will use all means necessary to help us to reach this goal, to have the image of Christ. Just like here mentioned, all things work together for good to those who love God. Yes, today we love God. So all things will work together for good. One of the best is we have the image of Christ. Take Jacob an example. Who would have thought that in Jacob's younger days, a scheming man like Jacob would become the father of 12 sons, from whom would arise the multitudes in the nation of Israel, the kingdom of God, the holy nation. And yet that is what God did through a painful encounter with Jacob. We know Jacob's life. For example, let's turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. And Jacob arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. 23, he took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. We know Jacob was in a critical moment. Yes, he had come back to his hometown, but he was told his brother Esau brought 400 men to come to him. So he was so worried. 25. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched his socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." 27. So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." 28. And he said, "Your name shall not no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." 29. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. 30. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I think this is out of Jacob's expectation. He has still long journey to go. How could he become limp? How could he stalk it out of his joint? This is not his expectation. But God used this way to make him have the image of God. In fact, Jacob lived with a limp after that encounter, and his descendants refused to eat the meat in animals' hip socket in memory that Jacob's encounter and transformed. It is a painful thing for Jacob because he became limp. It's not for a couple of days, couple of months. It's for his whole life after that. But God used this way, transform him. In short, God will do whatever it takes to conform us to the meaning, to the image of Christ, even allow us to experience pain and live with reminders of our educational encounter with him. Just like Jacob. Let God have his way in our life today. The sooner we say yes, Lord, to him, the sooner we become like him. Our life is not applied like makeup to the outside of our personalities, but it's an outgrowth from an inner transformation. We can make up ourselves, but God wants us transformed from our inner man. So we indeed have the image of God. Let's pray in silence.